thank you for joining us for the Help for Wounded Spirits broadcast. We exist to help those wounded and suffering through life's trials. Here is our host and best-selling author, Doug Carriger.
Great to be back with you. We certainly hope this finds you well and in the arms of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He alone is worthy. He alone deserves our worship. He alone deserves this community coming together for this broadcast, coming together to look at what we're doing with this exegetical study, a verse-by-verse study of the life of Christ. We find ourselves continuing on the Mount of Olives. We have Christ journey, Olivet Discourse, giving us verse-by-verse instruction on Esca, meaning end times, end times ology or eschatology, end times study of ology means. And we've been cranking along on that, and God willing, we're going to continue to do exactly that. I have Kevin with me. He's still down there in Florida. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, sir.
Well, praise God, folks. I want to look at personal responsibility. We're kind of going to crank through this. I'm going to spend about one verse. I'm going to give Kevin one verse. We're going to be about 2 minutes in, and then we're going to hop into this big, long study today. It's not one of them that we can do the first half and then go back to. We're actually reading about the 13 versions, the 10 virgins and the 13 verses. And but just to open you up, I want to tell you Galatians 6:5. When we're talking about personal responsibility, it says, for every man shall bear his own burden. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that we may receive things done in this body according to what he hath done, whether it be good or bad. So, Kevin, you know, God's clear. We've got to bear our own burden, and we've got to do things, and they got to be right because we're going to be judged.
Yes, I had a meeting with someone this morning in the meeting. He was talking about someone he's talking to that has PTSD, just a bunch of baggage. And folks, we need to realize that baggage is part of living. All right. So we cannot pretend we don't have baggage, but we're to be victorious. Paul talked about his baggage in 2 Corinthians, and he felt like he had to just get really vulnerable to help those people understand, yes, he's just a man, but yes, he's walking in victory by God's grace. He's not using an excuse, but he was talking about that his frustration was that it was hard for her to take responsibility. She was projecting she was blaming kind of other people and even the pastors, like, you don't care enough. And I said, well, you know, I can help you with some skills on the caring end, you know, how to communicate that. But people, we have to be responsible. We'll not progress beyond our owning our part of it. And so if humans are composed of carry baggage that is things done to us as well as things done by us, we need to take ownership for the things done by us. That would be anger, bitterness, yielding to depression, not being depressed, but yielding to it and saying, well, that's just, you know, the way it's going to be. And, you know, God wants me depressed, and stop it. That's a lack of faith when we get to that point. But it's natural to be depressed. Why art thou cast down on my soul? So we own, you know, abuse. If we lashed out at someone, we own that. Even if we say, look, honey, I don't know what was going through my mind. I was just having a bad day. I am I'm just so sorry. Own the damage that we do. You know, if you're on the deck of a carrier and you're in a plane and you drop a bomb and it blows up and kills someone and ruins a several million dollar plane, don't say, who switched the button? You don't do that. You own it. You say, man, I am so sorry. Please, let's have a board of inquiry. I submit to it. That's part of responsibility, and that we won't get over our trauma without saying, yeah, this is what I can own. On the other hand, the devil will try to lay the guilt and shame of trauma upon you and say, you were abused because of this. You invited this. You did this. Stop it. Don't be don't accept the responsibility of something done to you, particularly if it's done by someone bad. Lay that at their feet and you take God's ability. And then, yeah, you work on what you can, which is things done by you, and let God heal the things done to you. And I think it'll work out. I see it over and over. That's the one of the big paths to victory.
Yeah. And so opening right away with this study, we find ourselves in the book of Matthew 25, the Olivet Discourse, verses 1 through 13. So there's 13 verses, thus creating the reason why we're rushing a little bit to get these verses out. Everyone has something to say to us. There's a lot going on here. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. So we're reading this parable of the virgins here. And five of them were wise, and five were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, so lest there be enough for us and for you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went with him to marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily, I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour where the Son of Man cometh." This parable is kind of tough. There's some things going on here that grab my attention right away. First of all, here are 10 young women who are being talked about in this parable, who kept themselves pure and right before God. But something happened. Five of them were wise. 10 of them were wise up until the point they went to meet the bridegroom. But then five were wise and filled the oil up and were ready for the Lord and were watching for him and had the oil filled, ready to have the lanterns going, ready to show where they were, rather than have the lights on. And those five made it with the bridegroom, made it with Christ. So these virgins, they represent individuals who profess to be followers of Christ. And I got to tell you something here. God is really slapping some of us around and saying, you better be prepared because you represent followers of Christ. Followers of Christ, the oil's there. Everything's ready. And you know, it even goes on and it's saying, well, these five are wise. These five, they were foolish. You know, they took no extra oil. They symbolized the lack of preparedness, of readiness, things we've been talking to up to this point. When the cry goes out that the bridegroom's coming, can you imagine what they must have felt like being unprepared, trying to get oil off the other women, trying to do those things? And so they go away to obtain oil, and they miss the opportunity for when God had service for them. They missed that opportunity. The door was closed. Folks, the reason we preach readiness, the reason we preach preparedness, the reason we're looking at all these things is we want to be personally responsible. We want to be ready. And, you know, using olive oil in Holy Scripture and oil represents so many things. So we know that olive oil represents the Holy Spirit. Oil lubricates for a purpose, you know, friction, machines, all those different things. Oil heals. They use it for medicinal treatment when God brings healing and restoration. Oil burns in those lamps, keeps them lit. Oil warms and is used for a flame. Oil invigorates when someone massages somebody. Oil adorns is applied as perfume. Oil polishes. There's so many things oil does. And here's God picking this oil thing saying, have your oil ready. Be ready. Have your lamps ready. I'm coming. So Kevin, we got about a minute and a half before our first break here, but we need to be ready. Five of these ladies weren't ready.
Yeah, and oil is a type of the Holy Spirit, and the virgins are a type of Israel through the scripture. you know, you read in the Old Testament, the virgin, the daughter of Israel, hath despised these, talking to the Assyrians about Hezekiah's nation of Israel. But his this whole, I love this, the parable here is Jesus saying, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto. So basically, toward the end of the tribulation, Israel is going to come to a position where they're going to surrounded by armies of the Gentiles. And unfortunately, many of them will stick to their nationalistic security and say, we're Jews, we're virgins, you know, we're not like the Gentiles. And unfortunately, it was kind of going south for them, will be going south for them, except the remnant shall be saved. So yeah, it's responsibility. And this is thrown our, it's good, Doug, you're kicking it our way, because we get like that too. Like, oh, we got everything made. We're not as bad as other people. We're not as bad as the Gentiles are. We give tithes of all that we possess. You know, we don't smoke, don't drink, don't go, you know, chew, don't go with the girls that do, all that. But Jesus has a message for us as well. Yeah, what about what you should be in light of what I'm talking to you about? So yeah, Doug, I'm just right there with you. This is a big deal.
Yeah, it is. And we need to be prepared for it. Folks, we'll be right back with you. Don't go anywhere.
Shortly. Meanwhile, you're hearing this music while radio stations are identifying themselves and broadcasting advertisements.
So, there's a lesson for these five wise versions here for us today. And there's a lesson actually for the unwise versions as well. But for the wise versions, being prepared and being watchful, living a life like that. And being prepared for what the Lord's going to use us for, being prepared in our hearts, being prepared in our minds, keeping our family prepared. As Kevin was saying, as I mentioned, the oil represents the presence of the Holy Spirit in believers. Are we cultivating a deep and vibrant relationship with the Holy Spirit through prayer, through worship, through obedience to God, through church? Doing those right things through family devotions, doing those things that bring us all together. And just remembering, you know, as we ponder these points, we got to remember there's a certainty of Christ's return. It's 100% certain. It's going to happen. And we need to be the type of person. We got to understand that man represents Jesus himself. And we've got to sit here and we've got to be prepared. You know, Jesus coming back, the Lord coming back for these virgins, the bridegroom, and we've got to be ready in that type of thing in our lives, in our ministries, in our, you know, everybody, the minute you get saved, you have a ministry. The minute you get saved, you have a responsibility to God. You may not be called to be a pastor. You may not be called to be an evangelist or a missionary or a school teacher or whatever the case may be, but you're called to serve God. And I think the important thing here is to understand that these are 10 good girls. These are 10 girls that prepared their bodies and lives. I mean, these are people that just made one mistake when it came to serving God. And that one mistake, when they took off, they forgot to put oil in their lamps. They forgot. They weren't prayed up. They didn't have the Holy Spirit on them. Things weren't ready. They just made one mistake. But folks, I think God's word's telling us that, boy, if we can make a mistake, but we just got to be prepared. We got to be the guy or gal who's up in the morning studying the Word of God. We got to be the guy or gal that lets the Holy Spirit lead us. We got to be the guy or gal that's watchful, that we're not falling down like yesterday on the job and drinking and eating and partying and getting away from those things of God. Because not only does it hurt us, it hurts those people around us. We all have this sphere of influence. Everybody has it. And what is your sphere of influence? Last night, Kevin had a sphere of influence among these first responders. That was pretty cool. But he had to be ready. He had to be watchful. He had to be ready to say things and do things. And I think, Kevin, we as people of trauma, we can identify. I'm sure everybody listening to this broadcast today has had a trauma. I mean, if you're older than a day old, been there. You know, you've had your heart broken. You've had a trauma. Some are big. And I don't want to say a baby not getting fed in time by his mom is equal to somebody who's been through the terrible of terribles. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is we if not careful, we put down our watchful eyes and we fret and we get depressed and we get anxiety and we curl up in our little thing and we're worried about who's happy with us and who's unhappy with us. And we're not taking the time to say, are our lamps full? God, are our hearts full? Are you able to minister through the Holy Spirit of God through me? Am I open to you? And Kevin, I think these are the important things we walk away from. You know, we walk away from with.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We should walk away with some heavy duty stuff here. Trauma is something that hollows us out. When I went through my big trauma, just a lot of junk, like many of you have been through. When I went through that, I remember I was a hollow shell. In fact, I went to church. It happened while I was parked at a church. And I went to church the next week, but I was hollow. I mean, these girls had lamps. Half of the lamps were hollow. They were empty. They were just, you know, the vessel with a wick in it. Unfortunately, without the Holy Spirit, we can be hollow. Now, I didn't lose the Holy Spirit, but I lost it was flickering, man. But thank God the Bible says that a smoking flax will he not quench. So Jesus Christ is not interested in dissing the traumatized, rather rekindling it. And he did that to me. In fact, the first service I went to, or the second service at the church where I was severely traumatized, not by the church, but at the church, you know, just through some things that were taking place, external parties and so forth. When I went to church, man, the choir sang and God started to refill me. And it's so important not to lose the form or the fashion or the custom of serving God, but because we need fellowship. We need to be where we are filled up from the outside when we are traumatized. Don't stop going to church, because that's where someone else has a vessel of oil and says, oh, it looks like you're flickering. By the way, avoid the people that come to your traumatized lamp and say, oh, you're flickering. And they go, they blow your lamp out. I'm telling you, there are people like that. Snap out of it. I know what you're going through. No, avoid those people. You know who they are. They're the super spiritual people, or they're just the crotchety people. Rather, go to the people that say, oh, man, I can't imagine what it's like. I'm going to pray for you. I love you. And they give you a word in season. It might be the pastor. It might be a dear sister. It might be a dear brother. But stay with it. Don't lose that connection to other vessels that will fill your lamp, your empty lamp. It's a key. It's non-optional. Desperately needed. And the other thing I'm thinking about with what does oil do in a lamp? So this is not just a vessel that should have oil in. This is a vessel that's fueled by the oil. And so if you're trying to burn and you run out of oil, you will burn for a while. The wick will burn. Now, the wick, if the vessel is, you know, our body and the wick is our spirit, the Bible says the spirit of the man is a candle of the Lord. I forget what the rest of it says, searching all the inward parts of the belly. So that connectivity to Jesus Christ is our spirit. But if we're not connected to his spirit, we can still go through the motions and we can still burn and witness, and people that are lost without the spirit can witness. But that wick will burn blazing hot, but it'll burn temporarily. It'll smoke. It'll do it for its own glory. But the oil in the lamp causes it to do a slow, low burn. And as long as the oil's in it, it'll never burn out. And if I get burned out, Doug, first thing I want to ask is, am I running? I better check the oil level, check the dipstick. Am I running out of a connectivity to Jesus Christ? I need to slow down and get filled up with oil, you know, work the little knob like they got at Cracker Barrel with the lamps. Work that little knob to get the wick at the right level, trim it, the right trim level. And then let that flame be kindled in a natural way again with motivation, desire that comes from what the wick is soaking in. And I say this, soak in Jesus Christ. Trauma ministry is soaking, Doug, what you got going is soaking people in the Word of God so that they can kindle back to life and fulfill the will of God for those around them.
Yeah, that's so good. And, you know, I'm reminded that hymn Hold the Fort was written by P.P. Bliss, and it was suggested to him at Altoma Pass. The fort was being held by General Cost, was besieged by the enemy under General Hood. While ready to surrender, he refused, and the men kept fighting. They said, we're going to remain faithful. And halfway through the battle, just before losing the fort, they could see 20 miles away from the top of a mountain that there's great white flags waving to them with the division. They couldn't make out what was on the white flags. They weren't surrender flags, but it was General Sherman coming along with a full division, and they wiped out General Hood. Hold the fort, for he is coming. Folks, I got to tell you, we have got to hold the fort. That's what this is all about, holding the fort. Hey, these girls had it right their whole lives. Five of them. You know, they didn't hold the fort. They didn't keep the watch. They didn't keep the oil full. And let's be people keep the oil filled today. Let's be people today. Amen. Let's be a praying people. Let's be a Holy Spirit seeking people today. We sure do love you. What an honor it is to be here with you. May God bless you. We look forward to you coming back tomorrow. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to our broadcast. At Help for Wounded Spirits, we believe the Bible and place great importance on you having a personal relationship with your Lord and Savior. The Bible delivers a clear and simple message of salvation, outlining how you can begin your personal relationship now. First, recognize that you are a sinner, as all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, understand that there is a cost to our sin, as the wages of sin is death. Third, realize that Jesus alone paid that price. To receive salvation, simply ask the Lord to save you in Jesus' name while believing in your heart that He alone can save you, and He will. If we can help you with your salvation or to direct you to a local church, please do not hesitate to contact us. For additional helpful resources, including our new TV series, more information, or to donate and support this crucial ministry, please visit us at woundedspirits.com. May God bless you.